The Shekinah glory. We're in Revelation chapter 2. We'll be looking at the church of Smyrna in verses 8 through 11. And as we move through the seven churches of Asia, we leave behind us Ephesus. Ephesus was a church that had left their first love of the Lord. Their love of the Lord was not lost. It didn't wane away. Ephesus left it, deserted their original love of Christ. And there is a danger there for the work of Christ to become commonplace within a body of believers. Anyone who has had a love depart from them, whether it's a romantic love or a spouse, they know the pain of desertion. Death can be easier to deal with than desertion. A departed, trusted spouse, for them to leave, it can be more painful than even death. But there's no choice with death. But the rejection, the sting of being left is great. You've been told by someone who's departed, I no longer choose to be with you. And that's painful. The church at Ephesus has left a willing departure of Christ. And to leave or reject Christ our Lord, who gave his all for us on the cross and so forth, suffered beyond measure, only to be cast aside by Ephesus or by fickle mankind. To say it hurt our Lord is an understatement. It was heartbreaking to our Lord that Ephesus had left. As human beings, we have the capacity to love, to bond with one another, to build a life together, and also we're to bond with our Lord. And to leave or reject the love of God is simply painful for our Lord who gave us his all. Notice Jesus still pleaded with the church at Ephesus, repent and return to me. And then he gives them, or else. Or else I will remove you from my presence. There will be no occupants in heaven who are casual about being in heaven. No one's saying, well, heaven beats the alternative, which is hell. And some of mankind thinks that heaven is not necessarily the glorious thing I'm hoping for, but it sure beats hell and damnation. And so they try to get their ticket to heaven. No, heaven will be abundantly glorious, not just a better choice or the other choice. It has never appeared to man the glorious fulfillment of heaven. Heaven, it escapes our concepts and thoughts of happiness and contentment. Jesus told his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also. Now, we must understand that our Lord created us for his own good pleasure. We're told that in Revelation 4:11. And that pleasure that he has created us for will bring us joy that is indescribable. Some Christians do not realize the joy or happiness of heaven. I might be labeled one. I don't give heaven much of a thought process in my life, in my daily life. I don't get caught up in the hereafter. I'm an old man. I probably should be. But we can be caught up in earthly thoughts and processes that we live by. Our Lord knows what brings us joy. He made us. He created us. So we can cast our cares upon him. Heaven will be joy unthinkable and full of glory. And what profits a man, and this is scripture, if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? Life can be very temporary. It's been spoken of as a vapor of smoke, here one moment and gone the next. And perhaps we need to rethink heaven. Now we move into the church of Smyrna, and that's in Revelation 2, verse 8 through 11. And to the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you were rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews but are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you're about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. To the churches, he who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Smyrna was a proud city, sort of like Huntsville. Do you know Huntsville is rated the number one city to live in the United States? Somewhere along the line, I'm missing that, but I see the crowded roads, and Huntsville's all right, but the number one city in the U.S. to live in, I guess. But I say when I read those things, really? This is the best there is? Smyrna, however, was a large and beautiful city. It was a center of learning and culture, claiming to be the glory of Asia. Smyrna was a wealthy city. It was a city of trade, a harbor city, and all the trade of that peninsula traveled through Smyrna, and Smyrna, of course, was rich because of all the trade that went on there. But Smyrna had many temples to pagan gods. It had a strong allegiance to Rome, and that was identified in their worship of Caesar, and Caesar was considered the god of Smyrna. In 23 AD, Smyrna was chosen to build the first temple of worship to Tiberius, a Caesar. He was a Caesar of great respect. Then came the emperor, Domitian, who demanded worship from all his subjects in the Roman Empire. And under Domitian, John was banished, the author of Revelation, to the forbidden island of Patmos, where John received his revelation of Jesus Christ and that was all done under Domitian. And once a year, every Roman citizen would be required to burn incense on the altar of Caesar. And you fulfilled your citizen's obligation to Caesar as God in this little burning of an incense, and you simply said, Caesar is God, and you went your way and lived as you please. Now, that was okay if you didn't have God as your God. A Christian could not offer this sacrifice and have a clean conscience. And because of this, Christians suffered persecution there in Smyrna. And Jesus will describe himself to Smyrna. He describes himself as the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. Jesus says the first and last are godly titles that belong only to Yahweh, according to the Isaiah prophecies. Verse 8, this title Jesus comforts Smyrna because they believe and are serving God, the living God, and it was good for them to hear that God appreciated them. Now, only God can speak of being the first and the last. And only Jesus has risen from the grave. So we serve a living God. Jesus, being fully dead, came to life by the power of God the Father, known as the resurrection. We serve a living God. Smyrna is derived from the word myrrh. Now, myrrh was a embalming, sweet-smelling ointment that they used to preserve a body. And the church at Smyrna, it's a sweet-smelling, pleasant aroma to our Lord. Jesus sees and knows their works, their tribulation, their poverty, and our Lord knows the hardships that they go through, and he knows them up close and personal. We do not suffer and go through tribulation without our Lord seeing us. The word for poverty there is not just poor, although they were poor, but it's abject poverty. It's severe poverty. And he knows that they're suffering, and Smyrna, the Christians there, suffered abject poverty. They were the outcast of society. They were often robbed. They were often have their goods plundered, and they would be fired from jobs because of their Christian beliefs. And they were forced into poverty by Rome and by the public opinion that was all around them, because Smyrna was a good Roman town. But we have the words there, but you are rich. And these words are in parentheses, and the words are added for us to understand what the scripture is meaning there, that they were rich towards the Lord. And that's a good thing to hear from the Lord. Today, to be a believing Christian in many parts of the world equals persecution and poverty. And we can see it creeping into the United States. Afghanistan, whom the U.S. just recently deserted, was left over by a bunch of tyrants, a bunch of terrorists, and they were opponents of Christianity and still are. And they were full of harm for Christians. Many Christians suffered harm when the U.S. pulled out of Afghanistan. And what we did to them as a country, well, basically it was a shame and it was a crime. And yet, within the church today, within the popular Christian church, the prosperity doctrine abounds. And we hear from pulpits across the country, be all you can be. You know, God is for you. You're a king's kid. Prosperity is for you. Well, perhaps and perhaps not. We want whatever the Lord has for us. And if that's poverty, then perhaps poverty can be a good thing. Jesus assures Smyrna, I am your Lord, and I know what you tolerate for your faith in me. He knows what they go through because of their belief in him. The Romans considered Smyrna, they considered that church a hindrance to their way of life, pleasure, and debauchery. That's what the Romans were all involved in. And loyal Romans and Jewish rulers made life miserable for the believers there at Smyrna. Notice there that a true Jew to our Lord is one who believes Jesus is Messiah. That was a true Jew. Under Domitian came the accuser of of the Christian faith, the annual Caesar worship, where once a year you were required to do your a little promise of allegiance to Rome, and you would swear allegiance by simply saying, Caesar is God, and you could go about your daily life, and nobody cared the other way around or anything. And it was simply offering a little pinch of incense on the altar to Caesar. And they were given a little certificate of Roman loyalty, and then they would just return to their pagan lifestyle. But for a Christian, you couldn't do that and have a clear conscience. So a Christian's, if you were there, you were persecuted. Scripture calls this obedience to Rome blasphemy. And don't call yourself a Jew if you participate in this burning of incense to Rome. Don't call yourself a true Jew then. For in truth, you are of the synagogue of Satan. Now that's strong words. A true Jew to our Lord Jesus is one who trusts God and believes Jesus is Messiah. That's the description that our Lord puts upon a true Jew. But Smyrna, to our Lord Jesus, they are rich. Yet physically, they're destitute. So how does our Lord see Christian, quote-unquote, America? Where our government works constantly to make us poor. They do it with taxes, inflation, printing of money that has no backing. In our nation is under a system of pro-poverty. Sorry to tell you that, but that's the way I see it. We live under a system of godless leaders. When is the last time you heard a politician describe Christianity in a good term? You just don't hear it anymore. I'm afraid that many of our leaders obey their master, Satan. We have become a godless nation right before our eyes. And I think nothing but persecution is going to come to the church. The true church is going to face persecution, and I wish it wasn't so. So our future is one of oppression and persecution. So look around us. If you're a believer, look around you and hear the words of Jesus to his church. And he says, be overcomers. We live in a fallen world. Overcome the sin that is all around us. We live in an anti-Jesus dispensation. You can talk about God all day long, but the moment you mention Jesus, you become an outcast. But he says, if you're true to me and you become an overcomer, you will not be hurt by the second death. And then he talks about a time period. There will be 10 days. We're not quite sure what that 10 days really mean, but it's a time period that will come upon us. So stand firm in Jesus. You won't regret it. There are no regrets in being true to our Lord. Smyrna had one of the most famous martyrs of the old world. And his name was Polycarp. And church history tells us he was a member and a leader there in the Smyrna church. And when great persecution came to Smyrna, he was told by his fellow friends and Christian friends, leave the city until this persecution passes. Well, he ended up hiding out with some Christian friends on a farm. And there, while he lived on the farm, he had a vision. And he had a vision that his pillow was engulfed in flames. He interpreted that vision meaning that he would be burned at the stake. Polycarp, being a little bit famous, was arrested as an old man. And he was told, turn away from his Christianity. Admit Caesar is Lord. Burn the incense. And we'll leave you alone. You won't be persecuted. His simple reply was, no, I won't do that. And he was taken into an arena where there was a bloodthirsty mob. And they wanted Polycarp to be martyred, to be killed. 10 of his fellow Christians were fed to lions. The mob began to cry out, bring out Polycarp. And he had a word to say. He says, for 86 years I have served Jesus. I will not deny him now. Well, the lions had been put back in their cages and so forth, so they built a fire to burn Polycarp. It was a huge fire. They tied Polycarp to a pole in the middle of this wood pile and set the pile of wood on fire. But he would not burn. The fire wouldn't seem to affect him or even hurt him. And the executioner, in his rage, stabbed Polycarp with a long spear, and it was said that his blood put out the flames around him. Some of the witnesses said they saw a dove fly up from the smoke. And Polycarp died, a martyr, a famous martyr. But the days of martyrs are not over. It still goes on in many third world places particularly among the Muslim nations. So we have a rich history as Christians. Don't allow our government, our nation, being threats of being persecuted or being a martyr, don't let them detour you away from standing firm for Jesus. For Jesus looked at the church at Smyrna, and he was pleased. And he said, you are rich. So, we have a choice. Be rich for the Lord. It may bring poverty. It may bring about persecution. But the reward is heaven, being with our Lord. Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer.